Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Most Merciful, to all of our viewers out there, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And welcome back to The Rational, the intersection of faith and reason with our guest here, Dr. Ja'far Sheikh Idris. Dr. Ja'far, thank you for being here with us, sir, and it's been a pleasure having you on our program. Sheikh, when we Muslims speak about Islam, we describe it as a way of life. And sometimes that's a bit not necessarily well understood by our non-Muslim brothers and sisters out there. When we mean way of life, we're talking about every aspect of life, including how to rule people, or speaking of political aspects as well. Yeah. And that necessitates that we ask about the relationship between Islam and what is understood to be out there as the most fair, if I can use that word, system of governing people, and that is democracy. Right. How does that relationship work out there?
Of course, as you said, that democracy has been very popular. They say democratic theoreticians say that democracy has never been in all its history more popular than it is now. In fact, one philosopher said that if you judge democracy by the intellectuals who were with it or against it, then democracy will become the loser. If you start from the Greeks until modern times, because the majority of people, of the thinkers, were against democracy. Mm. But I think that
I'm hoping that we will go into possible reasons why these thinkers inshallah were against it.
And I hope so. I think we to discuss democracy, we should first start with defining what we mean by democracy. Because as they say now, democracy has come to mean many things. It has as many definitions as the number of people who defend it. Mm-hmm. So before we judge what is the relationship between Islam and democracy, we have to decide on what the definition of democracy. The definition I choose is the definition which the linguistic meaning of democracy shows, that democracy is, as you know, rule of the people. So it is rule of the people, not only according to this linguistic meaning, but from my study of democracy, I found that this is the meaning given to it by most theoreticians of democracy. Of course, I am making a distinction between these theoreticians and some of the philosophers. According to them, democracy is rule of the people. And by rule here is meant legislative rule, because rule has two meanings, executive and legislative. Of course, the people, not all the people can be executives. Sure. Not all the people can be king or president or king or anything. So what is meant is legislative rule. So the question arises now, if this is the meaning of democracy, then to what extent is it compatible with Islam? And I think if we make this distinction first, it should be it will help us. And we should not confuse this meaning of democracy as a theory, you see, a political theory, with what is actually happening in democratic countries. Because in democratic countries, there are things which are not required by democracy, but not against democracy. There are things which are not compatible with democracy at all, but they became part of democracy as it is practiced.
Do we have any examples?
Yes, I am just making an introduction that we should make this distinction. Also, we should make a distinction between democracy as a theory and the means by which, the means that people chose to practice this theory, mm-hmm. Because the means can change. And they are in fact not the same. For example, elections in France, the president used to be elected after 7 years. Every 7 years, the term used to be 7 years. Hmm. Then they reduced it to four, just like America and. There is a presidential system. There is parliamentary system, like in Britain. So these are means we should not, even the way people are elected differs from one country to another. So I don't want us to be distracted by the means. I know that it is difficult for many people to see this distinction. When they talk about democracy, they have in mind political parties, elections, and so on. But these are means. There can be democracy without elections. There can be democracy without political parties. In fact, political parties were, for example, in the experience of the United States. At first, there were no parties. The parties came later on.
Sure.
So I don't want. This kind of confusion to be. If we, you know, after this introduction, then we can perhaps talk about the to what extent is democracy compatible.
But at this point, not confuse the means by which democracy is implemented.
Yes.
By the
not the
by
means
the people.
and not. Not everything, we should not, as many people now do, we should not think that everything that the United States is part of the United States, say, system of government, is necessitated by democracy.
Sure.
We should not, in fact, one of these theoreticians said that it is a mistake, a logical mistake, to define democracy by what is practiced. Yeah, if you are asked, what is democracy? And you say, it is what is practiced in the United States. He said that if you say so, this means that I cannot criticize the United States or say to what extent it is democracy, because it has itself become
the reference.
Yes, by which democracy is
to be judged from now
yes.
on.
Mm-hmm. So there must be a theoretical definition of democracy can be an ideal thing that cannot be practiced in detail, but then we can say to what extent is such and such country nearer to democracy than other countries.
To meeting that definition that
yes,
we have chosen.
Yes, that as an ideal, yes.
I see. Mm. Now that you have chosen that definition of what democracy is,
yes.
Where does that leave the relationship between Islam and
if,
democracy?
Yes, I think that democracy, as I have defined it, and I know that many people don't like what I say, is not compatible with Islam at all, according to this definition. Why? Because it says rule of the people. So it puts the people in place of God. Because in Islam, you know, rule, you cannot be a Muslim unless you believe that rule belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Sheikh, just not to confuse.
Yes.
We're not saying that Islam is pro-theocracy. That's not what you mean.
Of course not. Okay. Because theocracy, many people also make this confusion. You know what theocracy means in the West? Theocratic rule was rule of some people who claimed that they receive their instructions directly from God. So you can't argue with them, because as someone is saying now in the United States, they receive that God told him to do this, God told him to do that. So you can't argue with him.
So when you say in Islam God rules, that's not what we are talking about.
No, we are talking about something that is written, that can be consulted by everyone. We are talking about something just like a constitution and laws that are out there. If someone tells me that my rule in this matter as an executive is according to God's legislation, I can say, no,
show me.
I have looked into the Quran or the Sunnah, and I don't find anything like this. So it is not a theocracy at all. So إِنُ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا إِلَّا. Rule belongs to Allah only. This is one of the fundamental beliefs of the Muslim. You cannot put the ideas or philosophy or and thinking of anyone before what is stated in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. Don't put anything before Allah, meaning here the Quran, and before His Prophet, meaning the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
So that is the first objection that we
and
have.
And that is the first objection and the main objection. That is the first objection and the main objection. Now, a second objection is, and I don't accept the justification. Of course, some these theoreticians try to be rational people. Mm-hmm. If you say rule of the people, then I say why? Why should the people rule and not a dictator or a few number of them or, as you said, theocracy or so? They have some justifications for this. They say, first, that a ruler must have knowledge of what he is ruling. And a human and the individual knows his interest and what is good for him, what is bad for him, better than anyone else.
Sure.
So he must he must know one else, know that other than myself should decide for me. Secondly, and it follows from this, an individual must be rule himself, because if someone else rules you, then you become a slave of that person. Mm-hmm. So if you want to be master of yourself, you must rule yourself, and so on. Now, these are the most important. My question is this true? Is it true that every individual knows what is really good for him or her more than anyone else? It's not true. These two kinds of justification are given in the Quran for justifying the rule of God. I benefited from what I read in Democracy, and now I understood more about rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah knows, and you don't know. عَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. You might hate something which is good for you. So it is not true that every individual knows for sure what is good or bad for him. Secondly, the individual in a democracy does not vote or opt or for something that is of interest to him personally. Yeah? He's asked about the general policy. What should we do in Iraq? What should we do in Afghanistan? What should we do in Darfur? And so on. These are not personal matters. So does every individual know, has enough knowledge of these cases so that he can give a view that is based on knowledge?
Mm. Sheikh, before we go on answering with that question, let's take a short break, inshallah, as we need to do that, and we will be back, so please stay tuned.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose whom He wills subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy, for His messengership, for the revelation to be revealed. This is not for the human beings to make that decision. If a person would turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely, truthfully, asking for forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to forgive. We have as Muslims a duty, and that is to recite the book of Allah, to ponder over the verses, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to act according to the Quran. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everything, but it who would this mercy will be for? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to all mankind. So the ummah, or the people of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are all mankind since the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till the day of judgment. Why waste our life without getting to know every verse in the Quran, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, and thank you for joining us again in the Rational, the intersection of faith and reason, with our guest here, Dr. Ja'far Sheikh Idris. Dr. Ja'far, you were talking earlier about the fact that democracy assumes that the individual knows what is in the best interest of his, and you're saying that is not necessarily the case. Mm. So you're saying that the base itself is not...
The justification for a rule of the people. I mean, this is one of the...
This is not of the objections that we have.
That this is not true. Hmm.
Keeping in mind, so far, the main objection is that in Islam,
yes,
sovereignty and rule belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The second justification they give is that, as I mentioned, I think...
Before the break.
A person must be self-ruling. Mm. If someone else rules you, then you become a slave of that person. This is true. This is true. Now, because we believe that we are slaves, or I don't like the word slave, abdi in Arabic, of our Creator, then we obey him. But if I obey a dictator, then I put myself in the place of a person who is owned by that dictator. Hmm. This is true. But then some of them say, but in a democracy, not everyone rules himself. Mm-hmm. Because it is majority rule. What if I am in the minority? If I am in the minority, this means I am ruled by someone other than myself.
But Sheikh, isn't it the case that democracy assumes that the majority is going to rule without jeopardizing the minority that's going to be ruled?
No, we are now just talking about the theory. Okay. If you say majority, the other objection, when you say rule of the people, do all the people rule? No. It is the majority. Mm. So if the majority rules, then if I am in the minority, then I am not being ruled by myself. I am being ruled by someone else. Now we are talking about the justification.
I see.
Justification. I see. In this case, I am being ruled by someone else. So if democracy is justified by the claim that it is self-rule, then I am not being ruled by myself. Mm-hmm. And most of these points are mentioned by theoreticians of democracy. Some of them are mine, but most of them are mentioned by these people themselves. The third objection, and it's a very serious one, is that democracy is only a form. There is no content. It does, for example, when you say Islamic rule, you are referring to the Quran and the Sunnah, that the person who rules must do this in politics, do this in economics, do this in social life, do this, do that. In a democracy, there is no content. Everything is left to the people.
To determine
what they want. Of course, in an ideal democracy, all the people should meet and decide on every issue. But it was found that it's practically impossible. So they had this constitution. Mm-hmm. The American Constitution is about 200 years old. Mm-hmm. Now some people are saying, why should I be ruled by something that was was written 200 years ago by people other than ourselves? So we are being ruled by some other people, not by ourselves.
Regardless of how impractical it may be, you're saying that in order for it to be true democracy,
yes,
continuously, yeah, a group of people would have to write and rewrite their own constitution.
There should be no constitution, in fact. The people just, this was the case with the Athenians. They used to meet about 40 times a year on the top of a hill and stay for 10 hours and discuss matters, and there was no constitution, no laws, nothing. It is the people who decide for themselves because they are the rulers. But it was found when democracy was revived in Europe, it was found that this cannot be the case except in very small communities like the Athenian city-state. And it was to some extent possible in the Athenian city-state because they excluded many people from the people. There were no women, no slaves, no foreigners. So if you are not an Athenian, even if you are born in Athens or you stay there for 30 years, still you don't have a right to vote or to rule. So the number was very small. They could all of them meet at the top of this hill and decide what. When the number of people in countries became in millions, it was realized that this was not possible. So instead of saying that we cannot practice democracy, I think they deceived themselves and said this is indirect democracy. That was direct democracy. Now this is indirect democracy. And I think that indirect democracy is not a democracy at all. Because in indirect democracy, you choose some people who rule on your behalf, whether it is a parliament or a senate or so. So it should have been given another name. In fact, to be honest to some of the founders of the American Constitution, they realized this. And therefore they said that ours is not a democracy. This is a republic. And in a republic, it is the representatives who rule, not all the people. And someone made a very interesting observation. He said that the word democracy is not to be found in the three most important political documents of the United States. It is not mentioned in the Constitution. It is not mentioned in the Bill of Rights. And it is not mentioned declaration, what is called something of Declaration of Independence.
Right.
It is not mentioned in any of these. And this might be because those founding fathers, some of them at least, were very honest about this, and they said that this is not a democracy. Mm-hmm. And some of them had very good objections against democracy. They said, now in a democracy we are talking about majority rule. But a majority rule can be dictatorship of the majority.
On the minority.
Of course. Mm-hmm. If the majority of people are white and they vote for something, on an issue which has to do with black people, then the majority decision will be a democratic decision, but it will not be a fair decision. This is the problem with democracy, because there is no content. There is no content, and therefore there is a people must see that there is a distinction between a decision being democratic and being fair or moral or so. Many people confuse this. When I tell them, for example, when France made it unlawful for girls to wear the
scarf, the hijab. Mm.
I said in one of the interviews in Arabic, I said, this is a democratic decision. And I meant to bring people's attention to this. Many people were angry. They thought that I agree with it, and I think that it's a good thing because I said it is democratic. I told them it is democratic, but it's unfair. Hmm. The decision to colonize when European countries took the decision to colonize the rest of the world, that was a democratic decision. When America decided to invade Afghanistan, that was a democratic decision. To invade Iraq, that was a democratic decision. So one should not confuse democratic decisions with moral decisions or fair decisions.
Sheikh, this is, of course, we are barely starting when it comes to this issue of democracy, and we definitely need to revisit this issue again. But we would have to hold on to that until we meet next time. With this, we come to the conclusion of this episode. Thank you for joining us, and we would hope that you would join us next time as well. Until then, we say so long. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.